Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today is called Good Shepherd Sunday, and we get this reading from John chapter 10, beautiful reading. We have it kind of every year during the Easter season, and it's a wonderful passage. Now, a lot of people have it for their funerals, because we get this image of Jesus as our shepherd, caring for us and loving us, and you should feel that here today too. But in the passage that comes right before, I'm going to read it for you here. The passage that comes right before this passage in John, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," also comes a couple of verses earlier. Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." This is how he says it. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The point that I want you to take away from the sermon here today is this: that Jesus is both our good shepherd who protects the sheep, that's us, and he's also the door that locks out those who threaten the sheep. So if you look at our banner here today, God opens doors. Think about Jesus as being that door. Jesus opens doors. He is the door, he says. And look at on the right side of that door. What does that look like to you? Does that look like a shepherd's crook to you? That's Jesus. Our Lord says to us, "I am the shepherd and I am the door." There's two metaphors here. You need to understand both of them. We understand the shepherd one pretty easily because we're sheep that need to be gathered. And if we look at the shepherd's crook there, they call it a shepherd's crook, I guess, because it's kind of can be used to kind of, well, you know, get the sheep by the neck and pull them back to the sheepfold. And sometimes we need that. The other thing that the shepherd's crook or the shepherd's staff is used for is to beat off that wolf. You're the wolf today. Sorry, Dave. Poor Dave. He's not the wolf. To protect the sheep, okay? And the door functions the same way, okay? The door, let's think of the door, okay? The door of Jesus, there's two sides to every door, the inside and the outside, okay? What's on the inside of the door? What do you come here inside our doors, the doors of Holy Cross, to hear? Grace, mercy, and peace. I lead off every sermon with that. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You come here to receive grace, mercy, and peace. You get that through Jesus, through the door. Okay? That's what's on the inside. That's on the inside of the sheepfold. On the outside is judgment. The door of the sheep also protects you, just like as he protects against the wolves with his shepherd staff. The outside of the door protects you, those who are in the sheepfold, from the outside world and from the judgment that's on the outside world. Okay? From the thieves who would come to steal you away from the faith. Okay? From the hired hands and from the dangers of the outside world. So you should go away from today feeling that you come here to receive grace, mercy, and peace, and I hope you receive that, and you should receive that. You do receive that. And have a feeling of protection against what's going on in the outside world in your life. That's the sermon. Sounds simple, but it's not. In our text for today, the earlier reading, Peter and John, well, they get hauled before the religious leaders of the day. And the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem, Caiaphas and Annas and John and Alexander and the whole priestly family who had power, well, they hauled Peter and John in front of them for healing a crippled person in the name of Jesus. And the other reading says the Sadducees were mad at the disciples for preaching the resurrection. You always can remember who the Sadducees were, okay? The Sadducees were the people who didn't believe in the resurrection. They were a sect of Judaism at the time. They eventually got wiped out. But they were a sect of Judaism at the time that said, there is no resurrection. We don't believe in the resurrection. So when Jesus was raised from the dead in Jerusalem, they were sad, you see. You can always remember it that way. And they were greatly annoyed by Peter and John saying, healing a man in the name of Jesus and preaching about the resurrection. And it says 5,000 people came to the faith. 5,000 men, I guess they only counted the men, came to the faith that day. That's in Jerusalem. Why? Because the resurrection happened right there, right in front of them. Couldn't be denied. They couldn't bring out the body of Jesus and say, there he is. No, because he's not there. So, John tells us that Jesus' words are, beware of the thieves. Those who came before me are thieves. These religious leaders who are leading you astray because they don't believe in the resurrection. They're telling you things that aren't true. How does that apply to us today? Maybe you've heard about some of the things that go on in the church sometimes. Sometimes religious leaders in the church, I mean, there's this huge scandal in the one of our sister churches, the Roman Catholic Church, okay? And I'm not going to attack the Roman Catholic Church because the very same sins do go on in other churches, including the Lutheran Church. And this is a tough sermon to preach because this is all also about pastors. Jesus, my Lord Jesus Christ, says there are faithless pastors. You know? What about me? I look at that and say, well, how faithful am I? I'm not as faithful as God would want me to be. I don't love you as much as Jesus loves you. I can't. But God comes and forgives me. Jesus forgives me too and brings me back into the sheepfold. If you look at me as just a hired hand, that's not what I want to be. I want to love you. That's my job to love you, but I'm called to love you. But if you don't feel that your pastor loves you enough, well, it's okay. Because you've got the good shepherd who lays down his life for you. When we had this active shooting event, you know, in the Baptist church down in Texas, I thought, what would happen if that were to happen here? I mean, what if I'm up here preaching and something like that were to happen? And the thought ran through my head, this is a pretty sturdy thing, you know. I could hide behind it. Well, then I thought, well, what kind of a pastor would that be? I should be here. I should be here. I should be the first one shot. You all should be behind me. That's what the Good Shepherd does for us. That's what Jesus did for you. Jesus goes to the cross for you because He loves you. He loves you more than I could love you. He loves you so much, He gave Himself for you. He lays down His life for you, for your sake. Whether or not you believe in Him, He lays down His life for those who are outside and who hate Him and who reject Him, just like the Sadducees and the chief priests of their day. Those who don't believe in Jesus, who don't receive grace, mercy, and truth, He died for them too, because grace, mercy, truth, and peace is available for them. The forgiveness of sins and salvation is available for them too through Jesus. All there is to do is believe in that. And you receive it. God comes to you today and says, receive the forgiveness of sins through your Savior, Jesus Christ. He who lays down His life for you. You come to receive that grace, mercy, and peace. He puts it in you. He fills you with it. Then He opens the door. He sends you out to share that. And it's a big, big, bad world out there. And there's wolves and robbers and thieves and hired hands that you can't trust out there. And you're going to run into some of them. You know that. And they're going to reject you. Or it's going to feel like they're going to reject you because here you are bringing grace, mercy, and peace to the world. And they reject it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. But the worst that they can do to you is limited to this life. Jesus says, I've got something in store for you. I've got something special for you. I've got eternal life that's for you. A wonderful life. When I was growing up, there was a show on TV called Let's Make a Deal. You remember that show? Any of you remember that show? I think they still have reruns of that on. Let's Make a Deal, right? And there's always a contestant that receives some prize. Okay, here's a prize. Lutheran Service Book Agenda is my prize, okay? This was up here from last week. This is a prize, okay? And the thing of the show is, you can keep this prize, okay, or you can trade it in for what's behind door number one, okay? Remember that? So the excitement of the show, the entertainment value of the show is this prize worth more than what's on the other side of that door? This prize is your life today in the world. Okay, maybe not Lutheran Service Book Agenda, but that's my life. But I'm saying the metaphor is your life here today. And we grasp onto our life here today. And we hold on to it, and sometimes it's good. We have good days, and sometimes we have bad days, but this is what we have, and we don't want to let it go. And how does that play out? Well, among other things, we don't want to face death. What's on the other side of that door? And Jesus says this. He says, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and I'm on the other side of that door. And I'm offering you grace and mercy and peace. And I'm giving it to you. You can look through the door. It's like a glass door. You can see what's on the other side. Eternal salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Living with God the Father in joy and peace. And sharing that joy, peace, and grace with other people. That's what's there for you. Living in paradise. That's the prize. That's what Jesus offers you. So don't be afraid of that. When the time comes, be ready to trade in the prize of this life for the prize of the next life. And guess what? He's going to give it both to you anyway. Because he loves you. He loves you and protects you and offers you grace, mercy, and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he has to bring you back. Sometimes he has to put that shepherd's crook around your neck and pull you back. But what is he pulling you back to? Himself. To grace, mercy, and peace. So, may grace, mercy, and peace be with you all through our Good Shepherd and the door of the sheepfold, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.